Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events related to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to Polygamy, What Love Is This? We trust that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend and that you're moving gently into the Christmas season and that none of us are afraid to say the word Christmas during the season as it's coming up since Jesus Christ is really the reason for the season. I'm your host for the show, Doris Hansen, and we have a purpose for this program, and it's to talk about polygamy. We have a message to tell all of those who are in polygamy, those who perhaps have been and have fled, or those who may be in polygamy in the future. And that message is this: there's not a shred of evidence in the Bible that you are required to practice polygamy to please God or to get into heaven. In fact, those that will teach you that there will be eternal joys in heaven after you have gone through the polygamy predicament here, you are going to find out instead that there is just pain and sorrow here in living polygamy, because living it is not the way to please God's heart. I've been reading a book, and it's called The Rocky Mountain Saints, and it's by Mr. T.B.H. Stenhouse. And Mr. Stenhouse talks a lot about early Mormon polygamy, and he talks a lot about early Mormonism, and he focuses some on the pain that the early Mormon women suffered as they practiced the principle of polygamy. And in his book, as he mentions that pain, it reminds me of the myth that we often hear that the women, the early Mormon women, wanted to live polygamy and that they were happy to do it. That gives lie to that myth. They definitely were not happy in early Mormon polygamy, and there's not many that are happy in polygamy today. Mr. Stenhouse actually, in his book, questions all of the pain that the women were suffering, questions that command actually could have come from Jesus Christ. Does Jesus really command obedience to polygamy? Does Jesus come along with a threat of damnation and hellfire and condemnation to the women who don't want to or cannot live polygamy? Is this the Jesus who was here 2,000 years ago, who was gentle with people he was with, and as he taught love and peace and joy that, you know, we all know that he taught? With the exception of the political religious leaders of the day, whom he did upbraid from time to time, but with the rest of the people, he was gentle. And then we find this same Jesus turning around and threatening and unrelenting when it comes to polygamy. Is that the same Jesus? Has Jesus changed? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "I am the Lord, and I change not." Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I also wonder, if Jesus is the Savior, why didn't he preach about polygamy? Did you ever look in the New Testament in some of his sermons and teachings? I mean, if he's the Savior, isn't he going to tell us how to be saved? And yet he never once preached a sermon on polygamy. Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. We are not our own Savior. We can't save ourselves, and there's nothing that we can do, including practicing polygamy, to save ourselves. And so our purpose here on this show is to let everybody know who is interested in the polygamy situation that it's not there. And for those of you who are teaching that it is, please send us chapter and verse, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, where the Bible teaches that polygamy is the way to God. We are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah. We are a telephone call-in program. And if you want to be involved with the telephone call-in part, about halfway through, we're going to be opening up the telephone lines. And if you are in a polygamy group and you are wanting to participate, but you're afraid that you'll be recognized, just remember, all you have to do is tell the operator you want to remain anonymous, or you can use an alias. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Our contact information, the webpage is shieldandrefuge.org, where you can go and find information about polygamy. And there's a contact page where you can contact someone if you have questions or if you have concerns. And also, if you are in a polygamy group and you are being molested or if you're being abused in any way, you can contact someone and you'll get confidential help and you'll get it immediately. And we do also provide safe exits to anyone who would like to leave a polygamy group. Webpage for the show is aboutpolygamy.com. You can go on there and watch previous programs that we've had on streaming video and also future programs that we are planning on having. And our email is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. Please email us with questions that you may have, private information you'd like to give to us. And if you have suggestions for future topics, perhaps that you could email that to us as well. Our calendar update tomorrow night, from 7 to 9 p.m., is the TV20 Christmas Open House. You're invited to come. We're looking forward to meeting you, and it's at 314 South Redwood Road. So please come on down 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Our discussion group is December 15th. That is the third Monday of each month, and it's from 6:30 until 8 p.m. Anyone in a polygamy group, if you have questions or issues, you're welcome to come. If you have left a group and you have issues, please email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we will give you all of the information that you can come and participate in this discussion group. Well, what's up with all of the men in the Bible who lived polygamy, and we're sitting here and telling you that it isn't a biblical thing to do? Well, next week we're going to start doing a biblical study on polygamy and on the show, and it's going to be based on this book, Is Polygamy Biblical? And we're going to go through chapters and verses, and we're going to take a look at some of these polygamous situations in the Bible and really take a good look. And so pull your Bibles out. Blow the dust off of them and turn to Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, chapters 2, 3, and 4, and read those chapters in advance, because those are the chapters we're going to cover next week, and we're going to start at the beginning, the first marriage and the first polygamist. And we're going to cover those next week as we do the program. So if you want to study in advance and start writing down your questions, please do that. Last couple of weeks ago, during the show, we were talking about fear. There was a certain amount of fear discussed. And the lady called in, and she left us an acrostic for fear. And I thought I would use that because there is a lot of fear that's perpetrated by leadership in the polygamy groups. And the acrostic is false evidence appearing real. And that is so true in the polygamy groups. For instance, they'll take the evidence of perhaps Abraham in the Bible living polygamy, and they'll pull that out of context, and they'll apply it to your polygamy group, and they'll say, a godly man practiced polygamy, and now you better do it or you'll be destroyed, which is basically what Joseph Smith said to Emma. If she didn't agree, she would be destroyed. And so they take that and they'll twist it into your own thinking, and they'll make it appear real, and that way they have fear already perpetrated on their members, and they will be able to hold their membership under that fear. Well, this is a very effective but a very cruel technique. In 1 John chapter 4, you might want to read that chapter sometime. It's a wonderful book to read. It's a very short one, and it's close to the book of Revelation if you need to know where it's at. But in that chapter, the Bible tells us that God is love. And it also said there's no fear in love. And it says that perfect love casts out fear. And it says that those who fear are not made perfect in love. Would you like to live without that fear? I know that the polygamy groups do perpetrate that fear in its members. And how in the world can you be made perfect in love? That's the beauty of the Christian gospel. That's the beauty of the gospel of the Bible. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Jesus Christ is the Savior. You cannot do anything to save yourself. We're all sinners, and sinners need a Savior. And when we repent, that means turn from our sins and go God's way instead of our way. And we ask Jesus Christ to save us and to give us His gift of eternal life. He does. And then that perfect love will begin to be made manifest in your life. You can bask in that love every day, and that fear that you've had will begin to dissipate, and you'll find yourself living under that perfect love without the fear. It's very awesome. You ought to try it tonight. We also learned a couple of weeks ago, a person called in, and this will be kept in confidence, but this person called in had been involved in polygamy for quite some time, deeply involved. And this person said that they discovered that it isn't the right thing to do, and they made their lives right with God. But they don't quite know what to do with the polygamy situation they're in. Would you please contact us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We can help you. You don't have to worry and fret over this. We can help you and encourage you. We understand the situation, definitely. And everything will be held in the strictest of confidence. And if you would call tonight, 801-973-TV20, and leave your name and number, I can call you after the show. Or you can email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And I will definitely get a hold of you. Again, everything will be done in a sensitive way and certainly confidential. Okay, now we'll get down to the subject of our show tonight, which is polygamy, and I'll introduce our guest for tonight to you. We have as a guest tonight Pastor Mike Manning. He has been the pastor of Mountain Springs Community Church in Sandy. Was it in Sandy?
It's Cottonwood Heights.
Cottonwood Heights.
Yes.
And he was a pastor of a church that helped a woman and her family come out of a polygamy group several years ago. And the story that he has to tell of how he and this church helped this woman and her children is absolutely amazing. So we thought we'd invite you here tonight to tell the story. She didn't want to be here, so you're going to tell your story and hers too.
Well, good. It's good to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
And you were going to be here several weeks ago, but you had the flu, and we had to go to Plan B, and and you stayed home sick. Well, I'm glad you're better. It's quite an amazing story. Annie's told me the story, and of course, so I'm familiar with it. And it's just fascinating that people can get out there and help the need that was there, that was such a great need. Did you ever think that you would get involved in a situation like this where you're helping someone from a polygamy situation?
No, I never dreamed that I would be helping someone in that situation. I've lived in Salt Lake City for 6 years, but one day I received a call from Annie, and someone had given her my telephone number, someone in the medical field, had given her my phone number, and she was desperate at the time. She was very ill, and physically, she had just been diagnosed with MS, and it was advanced stages, and she didn't know where to turn. Someone had helped her get an apartment. And so she, with her children, were in an apartment. She was 27 years old. And so she called me, and my wife and I went out right away and went to visit her. And, you know, we were not experts in the area, certainly. I knew very little about polygamy at the time. But God led us through that process, and it's an exciting story of what had happened.
Mm-hmm. She tells me that... in the end, as she looked back at it, that you and your church members, they all rallied behind the whole situation, but you, in essence, literally prayed her out of the group and into the safety of where she's at now.
Well, what had happened is the mainline Mormon church, they were working very hard to get her into the mainline Mormon church. And then we shared the gospel with her, and we invited them over for, I remember, this happened shortly before Thanksgiving, and they had Thanksgiving with us, Thanksgiving meal with us.
Wow.
And just a long story short is, She met another. She met a man from another country, mm-hmm. and fell in love with him. And I counseled them, led her to the Lord, led the family to the Lord. Her new husband, which I had married them, and so her first real legal husband. Her real husband was already a Christian, and so our little church rallied behind them. Eventually, we knew since she was ill, we had to get them closer into Salt Lake City. And by this time, they had had another child, so they had six children, and we could not find a place for them to live. He was making a minimal wage at the time, and she was very ill. And so our church, the Mountain Springs Church, and K2, the church, together, we built them a new home. Hmm. And that was never, you know, in the media or anything. We decided that we were going to give God the glory. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to expose them, you know, to the media.
Right.
But during the time we built the home with volunteers, and that took a while to get that home built. They lived with us. So it was all eight of them lived in our home for a year.
Wow.
And it was a wonderful experience. There were trying times, but it was a wonderful experience. Yes.
I didn't know they were living with you while the house was being built.
Yes.
That's due to me tonight.
Yeah.
And that took about a year, didn't you say?
It took about a year from the time that we started the process of looking for a lot and putting the whole package together. And we had to have volunteer contractors, and mm-hmm. and there was only one contractor that fell out, and that was the general contractor. Mm-hmm. So I ended up being general contractor.
Wow.
Myself. I'd been through one house building project, but so the two churches got together and planned this all out and built them a very nice home, and they now they only had $90,000 against it when it was finished.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was, a lot was donated. Mm-hmm. And most of the labor was donated, and mm-hmm. so they now have a payment that they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole family has come to the Lord. The children have come to the Lord,
uh-huh.
and they are very, very active church members today.
Yeah. She told me, for instance, that there was so much volunteer work that went into the building of the home. She said they would be, sometimes you'd just be sitting there, and somebody would knock on the door, and they'd say, oh, I have an extra faucet here, mm-hmm. and I don't mm-hmm. need it. Do you need it? And it would fit mm-hmm. right in a perfect mm-hmm. place that you needed there, so that no one person or one group mm-hmm. got mm-hmm. the glory for it. It was all something God mm-hmm. orchestrated, and He got the glory for the entire project.
God got the glory for the project. Just one little story was the windows for the house. We had a number of windows given to us, and then in the blueprint, which had already been approved by the city, the permit process. So we had all the sizes of the windows. And then the Community Development Corporation, which is a 501c3 here in Salt Lake City, they had a number of windows there that they wanted to get rid of, and they had them in their warehouse, and we went through their windows, and it just so happened that all 13 windows were of exact size that the blueprint called for.
Just so
we saw
that
miracle
way, huh?
after miracle. Yeah,
wow.
God's hand was in it powerfully.
That's awesome. Obvious, yeah. And it's so awesome that happened.
But I think, Doris, one of the things that we learned through the process and in talking with Annie, and she and her husband and family are really a part of our family, and is that someone coming out of polygamy needs someone on the outside that's going to really help them and care
mm-hmm,
for them
mm-hmm.
and walk with them. That's essential.
Mm-hmm.
It's just essential for the Christian community to rise up and to give these people the support they need.
Mm-hmm.
And both to help them with material blessings and also to help them with all the emotions that they deal with when they come out of polygamy.
That's so true. And some of the lists that I have here actually, and maybe you can tell me how she dealt with this, when you come out of a controlling religious group like that, and usually you're so cloistered all your mm-hmm. life that you really don't know how to to react and interact mm-hmm. with people on the outside. How about the decision-making ability and information processing, trust issues, the fear, the shame, and the guilt, because every mm-hmm. polygamy group will bring some mm-hmm. of that into play as you grow up in it. The critical thinking skills.
Yeah, it's a whole new lifestyle. It almost reminds me of years ago I was involved in a ministry where we worked with people coming out of prison. And so people coming out of prison, they have to learn to make decisions. They have to learn a lot of things that they hadn't practiced in years. Mm-hmm. Well, people coming out of polygamy, they have to be able to learn to a lot of things. Trust people.
Mm-hmm.
Trust men.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When Annie was at our house with her family that first Thanksgiving, and we were sitting around the table, and we had other friends in, and we were just having a good time. She told us later that she was afraid that when the meal was over, that the rest of the family would be sent out, and that she would have to deal with the priesthood. And I didn't even know what that meant at that time.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
yeah.
But there were fears there.
Uh-huh.
The children coming out, the two older ones, who were at the time, I think, maybe 11 and 9 years old, they asked a very interesting question when they had accepted Christ. And they were going to become a part of our church.
Uh-huh.
And Mountain Springs Church is a small church. But the oldest son asked this question. He said, "How do I know that Mountain Springs Church is the church of Christ?" He said, "How do I know that two blocks away that Southeast Baptist is not the real church?"
Good question.
See, good question. And they were taught that there's only one church.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our leading them to Christ and them becoming a part of our church, we had to explain to them that there are many churches, good evangelical Christian churches,
mm-hmm.
but they had no concept of that.
Right.
And so they had to work their way through that.
Mm-hmm.
And for Annie, it was helping to make decisions. Because, you see, she didn't make a lot of decisions
right.
before.
Right.
And now she's suddenly in this whole new world of making their own decisions.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
mm-hmm.
when I had to first start making decisions and I didn't have a family mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. she had. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make choices. It was very excruciating mm-hmm. for me to do that. What about her and her children as far as their spiritual healing? A couple of weeks ago, we had a guest, Evan Hansen. He's a Christian counselor, and we talked mm-hmm. to him mm-hmm. about spiritual healing and spiritual abuse and spiritual mm-hmm. healing. Mm-hmm. When you come out of a controlling religious group, and not just polygamy, but any controlling religious mm-hmm. group, there has been spiritual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so there needs to be spiritual healing. How was mm-hmm. she and how were the children once they came to the knowledge of Christ and his healing started taking over? How did that seem to go while they were living with you? Of course, you're being a pastor there. You got right there to mentor with them on yeah. the spot if it's needed.
Well, there were a lot of questions that came up, and it's important for anyone coming out of polygamy that they have a safe place to talk,
mm-hmm.
and that they're not afraid to ask what you know they might think is a dumb question,
mm-hmm.
because it's not.
Right.
They have to ask questions, and for the children, and these children are really gifted as far as artists. I'm saying, you know, even mm-hmm. the very small children. And they liked to, and we encouraged them to write out, like we used to see comic strips, and they would draw pictures of their former life.
Oh,
and then they would tell us about that. And so they would first. I think there were three or four of the children that would do this. They would draw pictures of the former life,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd sit down with them, and they'd excitingly tell us all about it. And so they often would do that, and that was a way of getting it out of their system.
That is a very interesting way.
But also they have to be, people working with people coming out of polygamy, we have to pray for them. I mean, serious prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Annie herself, I mentioned she had MS. Well,
mm-hmm.
We had prayed over her, and we had asked for God's healing. And she made some progress through that.
Mm-hmm.
But later, she went back to the home country of her husband,
mm-hmm.
and he came out of a church. And Annie today has a clean bill of health.
Right.
She was
totally
healed. Totally healed. But one of the things that church did, I mean, you know, we just, when we pray to heal somebody, we might anoint them with oil, and we pray that prayer. In that church, there were 3 to 4 people that prayed over her for 3 to 4 hours a day for 5 days.
Wow.
And
that's commitment, isn't it?
And that's commitment. And also what they prayed for is that any evil influence that was put on her, that would come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a taking out of that evil influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so Annie today is just this bright, beautiful person.
She is.
Not only in looks, but in character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's a beautiful family. It's one of these wonderful success stories.
I'd love to have her on the show sometime. She just doesn't think that's the right timing for this, and maybe sometime it'll happen so that our viewing audience could meet her.
Well,
but she is beautiful.
Yes, and one of the reasons why she doesn't want to come on, and I really respect that, is because once you come on, you get media, then maybe the children would suffer in school.
Right.
And there was media at one time, and, mm-hmm. and the children were, she did not want to expose that.
Mm-hmm. And so, I can respect that as well.
And I know that's what you're about as well. And so we as Christians have to really respect them.
We do. Yeah. And we have to protect them. We do have to protect them when they come out of polygamy. There are a lot of ex-polygamists who, when they come out of such a painful experience, they will just throw out the baby with the bathwater. They'll get rid of God. Mm-hmm. They believe mm-hmm. God is the source and the villain in all of this. Mm-hmm. And so they will just they'll walk mm-hmm. away from him as mm-hmm. well. What kind of advice would you give to someone, mm-hmm. maybe someone who's coming out of a situation like this now and they want to walk away from the Lord?
Well, I think, first of all, what I have learned to understand, I really can't blame them.
I did for 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real about this.
I understand it.
I mean, mm-hmm. they have been drilled with, this is, God is an angry God. If you step out of line,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to think about going against your husband's will, you might go to that lowest celestial existence. Especially the little girls, that if they don't mm-hmm. go along with the polygamy thing, they're going to be lost eternally. I mean, who wants to worship a God like that?
Exactly.
And so we have to give them time,
mm-hmm.
and we have to pray with them, and we have to understand them, and sometimes it's our actions are toward people coming out of polygamy. Our genuine love for people coming out of polygamy speaks much louder than the words.
Mm-hmm.
Often we have to become listeners, better listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said to Annie at one point, because she said, I am so confused. She said, I came out of this bad situation. And then there's the mainline Mormon church. They've been reaching out to me. And she says, and now you and your family are reaching out to me. And this church is reaching out to me. She says, how do I know who is the true religion?
Which way I should go?
How do I know what is the true faith? How do I know what's the true God? And finally what I said to her, I said, look, Annie, I trust God enough for this. I said, why don't you just spend 3 months coming to our church, working with us, and then if you want to leave our church, go for another 3 months to the mainline Mormon church. I said, let the Holy Spirit show you.
Mm-hmm.
And stay in the Bible.
And the truth can stand up to any test, can it?
Oh, the truth can stand up to any test, and you want to make sure that they read the Bible
mm-hmm.
and read the Scripture, and you walk with them through that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with Annie? One of the things that happened is she got involved in a Bible study, and what do you suppose they studied? The men of the Old Testament who were polygamists, some of them.
Uh-huh.
And see, how do I deal with that?
Yeah.
She says.
Yeah.
But then you gently work with them and understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And ask God if you can bear part of their burden. And that when people do that,
mm-hmm.
you better know what you're doing because God is going to take some of that stress off them and put it on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we walk with them.
Yep, we do. That's what true compassion is to walk with them.
And the last thing a Christian should ever do in any situation is consider people coming out of polygamy as a project.
Mm-hmm.
No, we have to love those people,
mm-hmm.
and we have to love them as a family, And I mean, as like our family, we had to show them love.
And we can't love them for a week and then drop them.
Oh, no.
It's a commitment, the long term we've talked about.
And you know, we have talked about that so often of how God has blessed us. You know, the scriptures say it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, with Annie's family, we are the ones that have received the tremendous blessing. And they are really a part of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been blessed tremendously through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can understand that too. We will be ready to open up the phone lines quickly if you want to call in and ask our guest a question, or if you have a question about polygamy. Our number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Based on Annie's spiritual healing experiences, what do you have as a recommendation or advice for any of our viewers who may be facing this same life-changing decision or situation right now?
Well, I think for the viewers, what I would recommend is, if you're in a polygamy situation right now, first of all, go to prayer, and you know, just ask God. Hey, God, if you are really real, would you show me? And pray about that. And if you know somebody on the outside, or contact Doris's group here, contact them, and have some people get in touch with you. I think anyone out there needs to know maybe there will be a husband and wife team that would come, or maybe if it's a woman that wants to get out of polygamy, it'll be a woman that comes and talks and meets with you, and so it's going to be a safe situation. But get a hold of Shield and Refuge, and contact either that telephone number or the website, and there will be people that are led by God to take you by the hand and will stand with you and be able to come out. You know, there are so many people, Doris, that I think from what I have read and understand that maybe would like to come out, but they have no idea how they're going to live, how mm-hmm. they're going to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the responsibility of the church.
That's our responsibility, and that's what this ministry wants to provide.
That's right. That's
absolutely.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about anything. They'll be safe, and they will, they're... Even if they need educational in the future, mm-hmm. some educational mm-hmm. needs, especially mm-hmm. When the women come out by themselves mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they don't have maybe much of an education,
mm-hmm.
or they have children, mm-hmm. how are they going to handle all of this? And we'd want them to know that we're standing behind them. But it mm-hmm. takes more than just this ministry. It takes all of the Christians in the valley.
I have a message to the church.
Okay, let's hear it.
Can I just share that? It's hard for me to understand. I deal with pastors. I deal with pastors all the time. That's my work. I deal mm-hmm. with pastors.
Right.
And my message to people in the church, if God is touching your heart to get involved in polygamy ministry, talk to your pastor. But don't be surprised if your pastor knows very little about polygamy, doesn't even understand what the seriousness of the problem is. But take that pastor and have him contact one of us. And we, as the church, need to reach out to people coming out of polygamy. We, as the church, need to reach out to the men involved in polygamy.
That's right.
We, as the church, if God is laying on your heart, anyone's listening, if God's laying on your heart to become involved in polygamy ministry, get a hold of one of us, and we will work with you on that. And so Doris, it's a situation where the Christian church in the Salt Lake Valley really is not aware of. You know, there are a number of us. And so there's there are enough of us that can help the people coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Christians in Utah, first of all, we're an unreached people group, the mm-hmm. only unreached people group in North America. But within Utah, there is a group that is almost totally unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And almost there, and that's the men involved in polygamy. And very few of those men have come to Christ, have any interest. And I understand that there's a few right now. And God is going to provide a way
mm-hmm.
if they want to give their lives to Jesus Christ, to work through the difficulties that are ahead, and miracles will happen.
Right,
miracles
I agree.
Miracles will happen.
And I tell this story from time to time. I had met with this woman and her husband who had been booted out of the FLDS. I won't mention anything beyond that because I don't want to mess with the confidentiality there. But as I spent an afternoon with her, sharing with her our experiences, my polygamous group experiences and hers, and we talked quite a bit and had a wonderful afternoon. And I shared with her the gospel and gave her my book and these other things. And she told me after I left, and she emailed me and thanked me for being there. She said, you know, I had never heard before in my life that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. She had heard a little bit about Jesus, but most of it is the polygamy doctrine. You know, it's not even straight Mormon doctrine they hear. It's Mormon doctrine interspersed with and interlaced with each individual polygamy group has basically the same but different.
And a lot of them have a different twist.
They do.
And some of it is bizarre.
Oh,
some
yes.
Some of it is really bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre.
But
if you know, if you're born and raised in it, and from the cradle, and that's all you've heard. And I think at this point, I'd like to mention, Annie and I have talked about this. Sometimes it seems like people are a little bit afraid to reach out to polygamy, people from polygamy, and not because they fear any retribution or anything, but more a fear of the unknown. What do they like? Sometimes they are characterized as being so weird that we don't want to be around. They're curious about what their life was like in polygamy, but after that, just keep at arm's length. And so we know from our own personal experiences that education on both sides of the fence is necessary. Education for the polygamy folks and education for Christians as we reach out to them. There needs to be that education so that we can reach out to them and that they will be open, you know, to what we have to say to them as well.
When I look at our experience and our experience with Annie and her family, like I said before, the blessing has been ours. I mean, the blessing has definitely been theirs as well. But the blessing that we have received, because when I look at Annie and her family and how they trust the Lord, they have taught me as a pastor a lot about trusting the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's worked powerfully in their hearts. And I'm a big promoter, for instance, of setting a budget financially in the family. And my wife and I have always worked that way, and we've lived, you know, we've always made sure that we never spent more than what we made and so forth. And after this family came to the Lord, and they, you know, I won't go into the debt situation, but there were some serious problems there. And she said to me a while back, she said, I know you're always pushing a budget, but she says, and I started to understand it. She says, it does not work in our situation because it is impossible for us to have enough money. And they now have eight children. There's eight children involved. She says, we do not have enough money coming in to pay for everything. And she says, and every month the bills are paid. Now, there's been a couple times that they've slipped back a little bit. But in fact, three of their children are in Christian education.
Yeah.
And God has provided miraculously.
Right.
Miraculously. There are even secular group or people that don't even know the Lord that are supporting that education. It's God has multiplied the money in their family. And so what we have learned is that, you know, we talk about an education. We have to educate ourselves. But let me tell you, they're giving us an education, not only of what polygamy is about, but they're giving me an education of what it is to trust the Lord.
Awesome.
It's powerful.
It's a wonderful story. It really is. We are waiting for your phone calls. If you'd like to telephone in at 801-973-8820 and ask questions or make remarks or any observations that you may have about polygamy, or if you'd like to ask our guest, Mike, something. I have a note here that our obligation as Christians is to tell them the truth. That's our obligation. And as you talk about pastors and the people in the area that don't know much about polygamy, it's our obligation to know about it. We're in polygamy area. And that's the way the Salt Lake City was was founded and began was with polygamy. And if we're living here, whether it's here in polygamy or some other state with some other culture, we are mandated by God to reach out with the gospel to all nations, and the polygamous people are just part of the All Nations Commission.
That's right.
And so we need to know.
I think, you know, if you're living in Detroit, for instance, Christians have an obligation to reach out to the Muslim people. We have an obligation to reach out to the people that God has brought into our pathway.
Right.
And so it's we have found, at least in my experience has been, to people who are non-practicing Mormons, Jack Mormons, you know, it's I love to minister to them. But there's this other people group, and that's the polygamy group. And I find very few churches that are reaching out to them. But again, the message for the polygamist is there are enough churches and enough people that want to reach out that we will reach out and God will provide. And I think as the churches begin to experience and pastors begin to experience the joy of bringing the truth to the people, we're going to see this ministry multiply.
And we have to be prepared for the pain as well.
Yes.
Because, well, we won't get into that right now. We'll get to David first. David on line 2 in Salt Lake City. Hello, David.
Hey, Doris. How you doing?
Hi. You're on the air.
Good. I just wondering, like, I just don't get to watch your show that often, but I've just really had a burden for, like, all the teenage boys that are coming out of these polygamy groups and just living on the street or prostituting themselves in big cities. And are there any groups out there reaching out to them? I know we have a lot of evangelical churches here in the city with a lot of youth outreaches, but it seems like they're just a forgotten group, and I can see why they're just called the Lost Boys.
You know, David, it broke my heart 2 or 3 weeks ago. I read in the paper, actually 2 or 3 different articles, where the Lost Boys, there had been a home opened up, excuse me, for them in St. George. It had been opened up several months. Pardon me. And for some technicality, the home was closed and they had to turn the Lost Boys out again. And that's when I really cried out to God. And I said, where, Lord, can we do this? The Christians need to step up to the plate and do this.
That's what I've just been thinking. I'm really inspired by your show tonight because, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's pretty disturbing.
It
some
is
of
very
these people
disturbing.
That have no one. And
absolutely. It's very disturbing. The Lost Boys, and that is an unreached... And they are lost. And without Christ, they're double lost.
And there again, you know, Christ taught us to care for the widows and the orphans.
Right.
And what is the true measure of what's the measure of a true church? Is caring for the, part of it is caring for the widows and the orphans.
That's true religion, according to the Bible.
That's true religion. And you know, for everybody listening, ask God to work on your own heart what you can do about that, or what, you know, bring it to your pastor, bring it to the Christian community. I know it's something that's heavy on my heart, and I haven't really done anything in that area, but that's true religion, and that's what Christ wants us to do, and that's just something that we need to do. And that group is forgotten. You know, it's forgotten.
They are.
And thanks for bringing it up again.
Yes, David,
Doris,
thank you.
Ministry.
Thank you for
God,
that.
I see big changes going on out here. It's the most wonderful place to be a Christian in the world.
Yes. Yes, it is. We really have a heart for the Lost Boys, and I've got my eye on that, waiting for people to come alongside the ministry and help out, and Christians to step up the plate. And we could really help those Lost Boys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David, for calling.
Oh, Doris, isn't that that's a whole another unreached people group, you know?
The Lost Boys scenario is a heartbreaker from the very beginning. The very fact that the parents could get rid of their children just like that and tell them never to come back. And then here the boys are from 13 to 18 years old, most of them with nothing more than a third grade education, left homeless. They have no money, they have no food, they have no change of clothes. They know nothing about the outside world, and the outside world they have been taught are evil and mm-hmm. are against mm-hmm. them, and here they've been dropped off in it. Mm-hmm. Now what are they going to do? And there's been so many of them get into trouble. Mm-hmm. There's one is sitting in jail right now because of a bad murder rap that mm-hmm. he did it. And they just don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And my thinking is we can do it.
We can.
We reach out. Christians reach out to the homeless, and they've mm-hmm. got a string of rescue mm-hmm. missions all over the mm-hmm. country. Why can't we do that with the lost mm-hmm. boys? Something in that line.
We have to really come to the Lord with that. And tonight's another reminder that that we as the church, we have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ is touching our hearts through David's call tonight. Christ is touching our hearts to really put that on the radar screen. Mm-hmm. I am really convinced of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. If we can get a lot of Christians praying for it and
let me just
having
share
a
with
heart
you.
For it. Okay.
Just a quick little story.
Sure.
Have a relative living in the Midwest United States. He said, small town. I mean, it's off the beaten path. Not even a state highway runs through the town. And this guy called me one night, and he said, hey, I got a little strange deal out here. He says, I own some apartment houses, and he said, I rented it to, and he gave me the name of the man. And I said, whoa, that sounds a very familiar name. And we did a background check on it. And he was one of the deputy sheriffs working for Warren Jeffs, who took the squad car and hauled the boys to Las Vegas and Salt Lake City and kicked them out.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has been kicked out before Jeff's had left. And he is hiding out in the Midwest in a very small town.
Hmm.
And
it's
amazing
isn't
how
that
God
interesting
has
that
taken,
brought that
yeah,
to
yeah.
full circle.
Brought it full circle.
How interesting. Very interesting. We have a question. Looks like an off-the-air question. Mike, how would you explain to Abraham the evils of polygamy?
Wow, I think Abraham began to see the results.
I do too.
Of what he had done, and it's interesting how God said that those results will be with the world as long as the world lasts.
And it is, isn't it?
And it is. And it is. The descendants from that polygamist marriage still creates problems in the world today.
It does. And as we go through the Bible study on polygamy, we're going to see that Abraham was not married to Hagar. Mm-hmm. He slept with her one night, mm-hmm. or well, however long it took her to get pregnant one time. Mm-hmm. But after that, Hagar never got pregnant, mm-hmm. and he never took any other wives. So it wasn't even a marriage. It wasn't even polygamy the way the polygamies live today that Abraham lived.
Nope.
That's a good answer. Why do you keep telling LDS people to question their religion when their family will turn their back and say they are filled with the devil? You know, I'm working with people from time to time, and this has just happened in one of the situations where she is trying to find the truth, and she's accused of being filled with the devil.
Hmm.
She's in the Bible, she's reading the Bible, she's praying, God's working in her life, and still she's being told she's filled with the devil. How can somebody studying the Bible and their life is changing for the better, how can that be from the devil?
Hmm. Well, I think if you know the person that has experienced this, they need to find a different Bible study group. if somebody from the Bible study group told him that, is that what? Is
no,
that
the
what
LDS will
oh,
tell
I'm
you
sorry.
That. If
I'm
you're
sorry.
In the LDS, if you're trying to leave an LDS family.
Okay.
That family will mock you and say you're filled with the devil for wanting to leave.
Okay. I misunderstood the question. yeah, I don't know what the answer, how you deal with that. I just know that people who have been involved, whether it's LDS, you know, a polygamist group, you know, whether it's a break off of the Mormon church or not, get involved in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Just study the scripture.
Get in the word.
The word is powerful and let the Holy Spirit work.
And find Christians, too. If you could find Christians to be around and pray with you and help you through some Bible studies, that would be very helpful as well. Mm-hmm. But we tell people to pull away from their LDS belief because it isn't the only true church. It isn't the true church at all. Jesus Christ is the truth. And it's our mandate from Jesus to tell the truth to everybody, including the LDS. And so we can't back off from doing that, even though we know there's going to be pain from leaving your family. Okay, we still have a few minutes left, and it looks like some phone calls might be coming in, but they haven't got the screen yet, so I'll go to some more questions. You do stay in regular touch with Annie and her family now, and I would have a question. Have you noticed, or to your knowledge, has Annie ever expressed a regret from leaving her polygamous situation? And if she has, what is it?
I've never heard her share a regret. What hurts is the fact that it has distanced her from a lot of her family, mm-hmm. her biological family. But now, over the years, that's starting to get much better, and there's opportunity to present them with the truth. Mm-hmm. And there's a few members of the family who are now periodically attending Christian churches. Mm-hmm. And so when we get together as a family, and they're a part of our family, and part of her former family will get together, and we get together in showing love mm-hmm. toward them.
Yeah.
But as far as leaving the group, I can tell you that if Christians hadn't surrounded her, there may have been a point where she would have had no other choice.
But to go back.
Mm-hmm. And you see, for people coming out, and a lot of them who have come out have gone back.
Yes, they have.
And do you know why they have gone back? It is because the Christians have let them down. Because the Christians have not surrounded them, and we have not enfolded them. In a lot of cases, that's true.
In a lot of cases, that is true. It's
yep.
not true in every case. Sometimes
yep.
the mind control is so deep,
yep.
it takes some more
yep.
years,
yep.
longer to have the courage to leave. And it takes a lot of courage to leave.
It takes a lot of courage.
We have a question on line one from Jim. He says it's a follow-up on the Abraham question. Are you ready? Hello, Jim.
I'd rather get to the New Testament.
There you go. Hello, Jim?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. I'd like him to answer the question. He skirted my question, and he didn't answer it. I wanted to know what he would tell Abraham about the evils of polygamy.
Okay. I'm sorry, that I answered that in a different way. I talked about the results of it. If Abraham were living today and talked about the fact that whether or not he should take Sarah, I would warn him against that. I would warn him against it, and using the scripture that Christ spoke about families, and later in the rest of the teachings of the New Testament, it talks about the leaders of the church shall be husbands of one wife. And I would really warn Abraham, especially knowing what I know about polygamy today, of what kind of problems it's going to create. And Abraham found out the hard way.
Yes, he did.
Did Abraham do an evil thing then?
Well, I think Abraham sinned.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let it go then, what you said.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Okay. You know, Abraham didn't trust the Lord.
He wasn't. It was Sarah, actually,
but
they both
yeah.
fell for that yeah. mistrust.
And Abraham, didn't, the Lord said he was, it's hard to, the Lord said to Abraham, I'm going to make one of your children, provide the population for part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham didn't believe that because he saw Sarah was an old lady and he is an old man, and how is this possible?
Right.
And so, God, I guess I better take some things into my own hands here. And we have to hold, I know Sarah, suggested it, but Abraham didn't show leadership in the home.
But he listened to his wife.
He listened to his wife in that situation.
It was bad advice at that time. Okay, we're getting close to the end of our time, but we have another call, line two, Larry. Hello, Larry.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would like to provide some supplemental information.
Okay.
You mentioned that Abraham had no other wives after Sarah and his relationship with Hagar, but he did.
He, as a polygamist, he didn't. He did not have any other wives as a polygamist. When Sarah died, he married Keturah, but that was after
right.
He was a widower.
Okay. Then that's all I wanted to mention.
Oh, okay.
Was that he had another wife named Keturah.
Right.
And she bore him several children, one of which was named Midian.
Uh-huh.
Which many believe was the father of the Midianites. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all I wanted to mention because I wanted to say that he had an additional wife.
Mm-hmm. He did, but not as a polygamist, and so maybe I never made that clear.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Larry.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You betcha. Good night. Okay. We have talked tonight about the Christians and the Christian churches and how we can get involved, all of us, with the culture around us. We're right in the middle of Mormonism and polygamy, and I know there's a lot of outreaches, but we are wanting and requesting and challenging Christian churches and members of Christian churches to reach out and maybe come alongside this ministry, Shield and Refuge. You can go to shieldandrefuge.org and find out what we're all about there. And find out what you can do to reach out and help, like Mike's church did. The whole church came alongside and helped Annie and her family as they were coming out and helped them make that transition and helped provide the needs. And they helped pray her out of the polygamy that she was endeavoring to get out. And so I'm challenging you, perhaps you would like to help in something. You know, right now I'm helping a woman who came from a certain polygamy group. And she left her children behind and she wants to get those children. How about if there is somebody out there who maybe would want to help us help her? She's looking for a job, but she doesn't have much of an education. Mm-hmm. And until she gets a job and an apartment and can prove to the judge that she can support her kids, there will be no judge will give her kids. And yet she wants them out of the polygamy group. Maybe you can provide a bus pass for her. Maybe you know someone who can give her a car, a running car, one that works. Maybe you can help her look for a job or just call her and say you'll be her friend. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. Contact us at shieldandrefuge.org and find out how you can come alongside and help the polygamous people who want to find a better life for themselves, a life in Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. How would you like to work the power of God into the lives of some polygamous people who are reaching out and asking us for help? And this is what we would like to challenge you to do. And come alongside them, help them out, find out what you can do, as Mike's church done, as Mike's heart is to do as well. We do know that the cross is the power of God, and we would like to see that happen. We want to thank you for being here tonight. And tomorrow night, we have the TV20 Christmas Open House. Please be here. We'd like to meet you and thank you. And we'll see you next week. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of a Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.